1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series, Applying Biblical Principles to Government. And why are we talking about this topic? Well, it is because we're in the middle of an election cycle right now. And in fact, some people don't vote in the primary. In fact, some Christians, about half of Christians, aren't even registered to vote. And about half of those who are registered don't actually vote. And many don't vote in the primary. But this is critical. The Bible says, and we've talked about this, that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. In America, we have the right and the responsibility to actually elect those who would rule over us. So we can actually, if we register to vote, if Christians register to vote, if Christians educate themselves on what the Bible has to say about government and where the candidates stand on issues, then Christians can actually place righteous men and righteous women in office to be in authority. And so we don't have to sit back and complain about those who are in authority and say, oh, well, this person over here is really a bozo. And can you believe what policies they are implementing? Well, you either voted for them, or maybe you didn't vote at all because you weren't registered, or maybe you didn't show up to the polls that day. It is vitally important that you educate yourself, and this is why we are applying biblical principles to government. Charles Finney, the revivalist, said this: "The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics, or the Lord will curse them. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come that they must act differently. Christians seem to act as if they thought God did not see what they do in politics. But I tell you that He does see, and He will bless or curse this nation according to the course they, Christians, take in politics." And that is Charles Finney, spoken at a time where really there was a time where we needed in this country a national revival and reformation, and he was actually a part of that in the Second Great Awakening that happened around the period of time where we were going through the Civil War. We also see that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to many people. So it's important that we as Christians apply biblical principles to our lives. Get right with God yourself. Apply the Bible and the principles of the Bible to your family. Make sure that your family is in line with God's word. Apply it to church and to your church. Make sure that your church is speaking forth the word of God. Encourage your pastor to speak on issues of the day, even if that might offend some people. Because you know what? The gospel is an offense. When we speak the truth, we offend people who want to believe a lie. But the only way that those people can come to repentance is when the gospel is preached, when people are shown that they are sinners, when people are shown that they need to repent, when people are shown, if we tell them just that, you know, God is pleased with them, that they're everything that they're doing is right, we're not doing them a favor. That's speaking peace, peace, when there is no peace. And God actually shows in the prophets that He doesn't look kindly on those who speak peace, peace, when there is no peace. We need to encourage pastors to preach the Word of God wholly, the full gospel, not just part of it, but to preach the entire Bible and call people unto repentance. We have looked at some previous campaign issues, and we're going to review these briefly and cover some more today as well. One, rulers must recognize that God is our creator, and this is really where it starts. If you believe that God is the creator of heaven and earth and of you and me, then you believe that we are subject to His rules and His laws, and God is the one that determines right from wrong. However, if you believe that we just happened by chance, that there was nothing, and then there was an explosion, and all of the marvelous intricacies of this world just happened by chance and random mutation, and even the marvelous intricacies of your body. If you don't believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and that your neighbor is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and that the preborn child in the womb is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, then you believe it's okay. It could be okay for his mother to rip that baby limb from limb and have her skull crushed. This is what their ideas have consequences, and this is really the preeminent idea here. And from that stems the next one, that rulers must read God's law and fear and obey God. This is from Scripture. Rulers must be just. The Bible, God told Moses to select through Jethro to select men who were just to be over 10s and 50s and hundreds and so on. Judges must also judge justly. Our constitution and law should be based on God's law. And many of the principles of the Constitution, and also many of our first laws, were actually based on God's law. Never fully as proper as it should have properly been done, but to a large extent, our founding was based on the law of God. Honoring God, our rulers must and should honor God. And as a nation, we should honor God. You know, we can sing God Bless America, but really, when we read the Bible, we see that God blesses those who bless Him. God blesses those nations that keep His commandments. And God not only judges individuals, but God also judges nations based on whether they obey Him or violate His commandments. So it is important that as a nation that we bless God, and rulers must defend innocent human life because we are created in God's image, because we are His image bearers. And this was actually the reason that the death penalty was instituted in Genesis chapter 6. You can read about this. And it's vitally important that we realize that the protection of innocent human life from the very beginning, whether that happens in a laboratory, we should make sure that we have laws that protect humans that are being created in laboratories. Because let me tell you something, in laboratories, scientists are creating humans for experimentation. They're even mixing human and animal genes together. We should never allow this. Making part cow, part human, making glow-in-the-dark human embryos out of by mixing a portion of a glow-in-the-dark jellyfish with a human embryo. We should never allow this to happen in our culture. So we see that rulers must defend innocent human life without exception. There's no reason to ever purposely kill innocent human life, even in the womb. There's no reason to do so. And we also see that rulers must defend marriage. And really, God defines marriage. We look from Genesis chapter 1. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. I mean, this is God's principle. And Jesus reiterated this in the New Testament. And we need to see that we are, we need to know where the candidates stand on the issue of marriage. You can go to FloridaVotesValues.com. You can see local voter guides. In some counties. By the way, if your county doesn't have a local voter guide and you want one and you're willing to help make it happen, contact us. Let us know through that website. We have a form there where you can let us know that you want to help produce a local voter guide. Maybe you can get a team together to produce a local voter guide for your area. But we also will very soon have links for candidates running for state and federal office as well. We also, so I would encourage you to go there, FloridaVotesValues.com, but it's important to know where the candidates stand on the issue of marriage and whether they believe in the God definition of marriage. Rulers must return the law of God, the Bible, prayer, and creation science to schools, including public schools. We quoted from several founding fathers that actually talked about the importance of teaching biblical principles in schools. And you know, if you know history, if you know accurately American history, you know that the Puritans actually founded the public school system. For what purpose? For the purpose of educating children to read so that they can read the Bible. And the Bible and the New England Primer, which taught biblical principles, were the primary reading books of that time. And rulers also, we talked about this last week, rulers must live within their means. At the founding of this country, it was thought absurd that any government would tax its people 10% of their income. Yet we have some people in America that are paying more than 50% of their income when you add up all the different taxes that are paid. We also see that rulers, and we'll actually start here today with new information and new topics, but rulers must stay within their delegated authority and provide checks and balances to other branches of government. This is something that the founders realized that humans are evil. We are. You have to realize this from a biblical principle. Read Romans. Read Romans chapter 3. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of God's glory. We all are capable of vile sins. Any good that is in you, any good that is in me or in you by the grace of God, because of the work of God, because God is doing work in our lives. And so they realized this tendency for power to corrupt and for absolute power to corrupt absolutely. So they created and they actually looked at principles from the Bible and actually created a government where there would be checks and balances and where each part of government would actually have defined roles, and the U.S. Constitution would define the roles for the executive branch, for the legislative branch, and for the judicial branch. And the three were supposed to provide checks and balances. They weren't supposed to all be working together. They were supposed to be actually checking one another. If one branch was doing something that was unconstitutional, the other branches were supposed to check them and stop them from doing so. And we read from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. So from this passage of scripture, this is where they got the idea of having the legislative branch, having the executive branch, the president, and having the judicial branch. And of course, most of the states have the same rule of law, where you have a governor and a legislature and a court system, a state court system. And they were designed to actually, again, provide checks and balances. Today, we actually have the executive branch. And this happens, by the way, when Democrats are in authority, and it happens also when Republicans are in authority. Over the years, the powers of the executive branch have expanded as presidents have pushed the limits, and the legislature and the courts have allowed them to do so instead of being providing checks and balances. And even in this last election cycle, we actually had even government agencies at the state level actually enacting policy that effectively changed the election laws and allowed for different types of election that the legislature hadn't approved and hadn't authorized. And so really what we need to return to is this level where we actually have checks and balances, where we don't allow the executive branch to run amok, where we require the legislature to do their job, where we rein in judicial judges that actually legislate from the bench instead of applying the law as the legislature has made it, and making sure that law is constitutional. And when a law is not constitutional, the judicial branch is supposed to strike that law down. We also see that government should be limited. And we get from Exodus chapter 18, we read this either last week or the week before, but we'll read this part again here. And this is what we have as the Jethro principle from Exodus chapter 18, verse 21. Moreover, you shall select from among the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. From this passage, our founders got the idea of local, state, and federal government. And you may recall the passage, the background of this passage was that the entire nation of Israel, which was well over a million at that time, was all coming. They were all coming and standing in a line waiting to talk to Moses. And Jethro said, you're going to wear yourself out and the people out. You know, you need to have limited government. You need to have people that are over 10s. Let the guy that's over 10, let him handle everything he can handle. The next one up, the one over 50, can handle anything that, and only what the person at the lower level can handle, and so on. And really, if you think about this, how about this as an idea? You do whatever you can do for yourself. Don't look to the government to do something for you. Do what you can do for yourself. Your family should 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 be the next level, where the family takes care of things that maybe you can't take care of yourself. And then we have private charity, and then we have the church. And only then, I mean, should you actually go to the government? I mean, today we have, if you don't mow in certain areas, and in my area, if you don't mow the grass near your ditch, well, that's okay, because the government will actually pay a lawn service to come and mow the grass near your ditch. It's crazy. I mean, anyone, most people can actually mow the lawn or pay someone else to do it. And we don't need the government providing that service for us. It's not needed. It's not necessary. We should do what we can do. But what we can't do, the local government should take care of. And only what the local government can't take care of should go to the state government. And only what the state government can't take care of should go up to the federal government. And that should only be what the Constitution has authorized the federal government to do. And you may actually have read the 10th Amendment, but it says this: the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. If this principle were applied to the federal government today, most of what the federal government does would actually be ended, because the federal government does not have the constitutional authority to do most of what they do, but they do it because, again, we don't have the checks and balances. But in some areas, we are starting to see checks and balances, and we are starting to see some states rise up and exercise their authority and say, no, we need to actually return to a place where we have checks and balances and where we have limited government. And by the way, with the only way to get down to limited taxation, that taxation where it's less than 10% for state, for local, state, and federal government, is if you have limited government, if you're taking care of what you can take care of, and not asking the government to take care of things that you can take care of. Next, we're going to say rulers must keep the rule of law. And this, by the way, is a very important topic today. So much so that, you know, when we've talked about this in the past, it's really been, we're really talking about the border, and we're really talking about, you know, upholding our laws. But today, it's so much, there's so many cities where the prosecutor and counties where the prosecutors are refusing to actually prosecute, and where judges are refusing to enforce the law, in some cases where even the police are refusing to enforce the law. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, we read, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authority that exists are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this thing." Now, in 2 years ago, in the riots that happened in cities throughout the nation in 2020, they resulted in 25 people being killed and of around $2 billion and property damage. And many of the people responsible for those actions were never prosecuted. And many of those who were or never even arrested, and those who were arrested many times were let go or were had a slap on the wrist, didn't have much happen to them. Even some politicians were actually bailing rioters out of jail. Today in San Francisco, you can actually walk into a store and steal something. As long as what you're stealing is worth less than $950, you won't even be arrested, much less prosecuted. In New York, one store is even putting spam inside of secure plastic containers that shoppers can't easily open. And you may have seen the video of the teenagers who fought and brutally beat New York police department officers in the subway. What actually happened from this is that the teens were charged with assaulting an officer and other charges, but they were actually released and let go and back on the streets within 24 hours. Now, these were people that actually had the male actually had been arrested for robbery just a few days earlier, but was let out and then was arrested for beating an officer, and within 24 hours was back out. The mayor of New York City said, catch, release, repeat, catch, release, repeat. This person was arrested for robbery a few days ago. Now he's back. It is time that we return to the rule of law and make sure that justice happens. Justice can't happen when we're allowing people to steal, when we're allowing people to beat up police officers, when we're allowing for this foolishness to happen. Justice can't happen in our society. I want to again encourage you to go to FloridaVotesValues.com, where you can find voter guides that will help you know where the candidates stand on the issues. And I want to encourage you to, again, study the Bible, read the Bible, see what God says about these issues. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? FloridaVotesValues.com now has local voter guides available in several counties. Visit FloridaVotesValues.com to learn where the candidates stand on life, liberty, marriage, sex ed, transgender bathrooms, taxes, the Second Amendment, critical race theory, defund the police, and more. Again, visit FloridaVotesValues.com.
Nothing shall I fear on this battleground. Nothing shall I fear when the enemy surrounds me. You will defend me. I won't be afraid, this is not the end. I won't be afraid when the odds are stacked against me.